Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. After the release of the film I Called Him Morgan, I had the chance to sit down with the award-winning saxophonist, composer, arranger, and educator, Odeen Pope, who grew up in Philadelphia with trumpeter Lee Morgan.
Yes, Lee Morgan. He was one of the extraordinary minds that this country has produced because at a very early age, he was gifted with being a very exceptional, tremendous artist. He first started playing the alto saxophone. He was influenced by the vibraphone, but at the age of 13, his sister, Ernestine, bought him his first trumpet. And by the time he was 16, even before that, he was playing with the likes of Sonny Stitt. They used to have workshops that would come into Philadelphia every week, and he would go down and play with Sonny Stitt and the great artists of that time, Hank Mobley, Kenny Durham. They had a workshop that they would bring an artist in every week. So he was playing with the likes of them. And I got an opportunity also to play duets. We used to play duets in my basement, the Biles Barrier books. And we used to also play together with the sextet.
You and Lee Morgan used to play duets in your basement?
Yes, we played duets in my basement.
How did you meet him?
Lee Morgan was in the neighborhood, and he heard about me, Hassan, and myself, and also Train. And he would come down and ask, could he practice with us? So we got very connected together. And so in addition to practicing with Hassan and John Coltrane, we played duets in my basement. And he was the kind of person, the kind of mind that would, if something was played maybe once, he could just go to his horn and get it and play it all over again. He was very gifted in terms of that instrument, that trumpet. I think that was an extension of his body, who he were.
What kind of music do you think of when you think of those early days? Any particular piece?
We was playing a lot of standards. Standards like Cherokee was one of the key pieces that everybody played because it was a difficult piece. And it was a piece that we would get and play. And then eventually we started playing it, started in B flat and play it through the keys. Play it through the whole 12 keys. So he was very instrumental in doing things like that and also very instrumental in bringing people together and playing at least two or three times a week. And it's really sad today we don't have that kind of activity. During that period, we would come together. Reggie Workman would come together. He had a hearse. He used to drive a hearse. And we would all
pop.
Who
is that?
Reggie Workman.
Okay.
Who is one, also played with John Coltrane, and also Lee Morgan. But Lee Morgan was one of the forerunners of that period in terms of coming together, exchanging ideas with people, and playing. And I'm so grateful that I had that wonderful opportunity to share bandstands and also share my basement with him playing duets.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Did he have any certain style? Would you have described him?
Well, during that time, he was studying everything. He was playing everything. He was playing rock. He was playing fusion. He was playing classical music. We was just playing music. You know, we didn't have a certain kind of music. But we started to lean towards the contemporary jazz music. Later on. But early on, we were just playing, like I said, the Buzz Bayer books, the all kind of instrumentation kind of music that existed during that period, we were trying to play it.
Was there anything that was particularly impressive about him playing?
Yeah, well, because he was outstanding. You know, like nobody played the trumpet like him during that period. He was greatly influenced by Clifford Brown. As a matter of fact, he had taken early on a few lessons from Clifford Brown. But other than Clifford Brown, well, Max and Dizzy saw the creativity in him at a very early age. He went with Dizzy Gillespie's band when he was 18. And he played with Dizzy's band for about two years until the economy it was so bad, Dizzy had to disband the band. But then Lee Morgan went on to play with Art Blakey and Hank Mobley, John Coltrane, and some of the great, great forerunners during that period. He was just extraordinary. He was outstanding in every respect.
And as a person?
As a person, he was a great person. He was always trying to help, you know, because he used to help me with chord changes. And well, we used to exchange chord changes. If he would get something new, he would bring it to me. And if I would get something new, I would bring it to him. And my source of information was Benny Golson and the Heath Brothers. If they would get something from Charlie Parker, they would pass it on down to me, because during that time, Charlie Parker was the person, was the voice. So Benny Golson and Jimmy Heath, they was connected with Charlie Parker. They knew him, and Charlie Parker would give them compositions, his new compositions. They would, as a matter of fact, I have Benny Golson's handwriting, and I remember Clifford. But to answer your question, Lee Morgan was the most outstanding young man of that period to me, because he played, he had a real beautiful sound on his instrument. And to have a great sound on your instrument at a young age is unbelievable. And at a very young age, he sounded like an old man on his trumpet that was really, really playing, not only playing concepts, but playing through very complex changes. During that period, it wasn't a lot of modal compositions. It was things like Blue Train, which had changes, and it was things like Straight Street, which had very complex changes. Moment's Notice, he played on Moment's Notice, which is very, very difficult piece. And he played through the changes when he was 18.
Wow.
And some of those changes right now, like Moment's Notice, are very difficult for any musician to pick up and play.
Sounds like it was, you had a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, because playing through the keys was another challenge. You know, like first playing Cherokee in the key of B-flat, then go to B, then go to C, then go to C-sharp, up until you complete the whole cycle, which is 12 different scales. And to be able to do that at a very early age, that was really something special.
Is that something that you do just as an exercise or for fun?
Well, you know, I think it all started with Sonny Stitt, because Sonny Stitt, he would challenge young musicians. He would fool musicians up on the bandstand and say, what you want to play? And before you could say anything, he said, well, let's play Cherokee. Cherokee was the key composition tune that was a challenge to all people, because it started out in B-flat, then it went to B, it went to E, it went to all different kinds of changes, G major, it went to, it went to B major in the beginning, and it just went through all of the different components. But Cherokee was that tune that everybody played during that period, was trying to say, well, look, can I play this through the keys? And after Sonny Stitt introduced us to this, we just really just worked on it over and over. Every day, Cherokee.
Wow.
Because it was something that was not easy to play, not only in B-flat, but to play it in B and E and F-sharp and G-flat, I mean, and G-sharp and keys of that nature, it was very difficult.
Wow. You really have to know music inside out.
Right.
What did you think of the film, I Called Him Morgan?
Well, you know, I went to that film, and I talked about Lee Morgan at the film, and I thought it was a tremendous film that captured and depicted what Lee Morgan was about. It had some great speakers like Billy Harper, some other people, and I just thought it was a great, great film.
Did you know Helen?
Yes, I did know Helen.
When I watched the film, I was kind of stunned. Was it a good depiction of the world he was in at the time, too?
Well, it sort of captured many things, even though we all know that regardless how many things you capture in your lifetime, there are so many more that you don't really get around to putting into the collective umbrella that all of the things that he's doing at that time. But the essential principles and things that he was doing. I think it did a tremendous job in capturing and depicting those kind of things that he was doing.
You talking about musical or non-musical?
I think both. Him as a person, him as the educator, him as a composer and arranger, and him as a trumpeter. His sister bought him his first trumpet when he was 13. And unfortunately, he was born July 10th, 1938, but his life was cut short. He was 33, February 19, 1972. It was his life. When Reggie called me that morning and told me, said, "Oh, Dean, hold your breath, take a long breath, because I got some very bad news. Lee Morgan just got killed." And that was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was shocking in the film, too. I think it was just so sad.
Yes, it was sad. Him and Helen had a confrontation in the club, and she went home and got this .38, and it was the last set. Jimmy Murd, who is still living in Philadelphia, he was playing with Lee Morgan at the time, and he was the first one to go get on the bandstand, and Lee Morgan was the second one to get on the bandstand. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Helen came up to the bandstand and just started shooting. He would have lived if he bled to death. It was a big snowstorm that night, and the ambulance took so long to come to take him to the hospital, he bled to death.
What was your impression of Helen as a person?
Well, Helen, I think, she first took him in, started taking care of his business, giving him good food to eat, bought him clothes, and she was really taking care of him. At that aspect, I thought she did a tremendous job of helping him and taking him and putting him in a different place.
So were you shocked that she had done this?
I think everybody was shocked. I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, when Reggie called me, I got up and I walked the floor all night. And the next day, I just stayed in and prayed. I didn't do anything because it was just something that was hard to believe that he was not with us anymore. And even today, it's hard to believe that he's no longer on the planet because he contributed so much. And he brought so much to the table, and he was like so giving and so sincere in what he was doing. He was very dedicated. He was one of the great, great forerunners that brought so much to life and so much to the country and so much to the world, the whole world itself.
So we talked about the kind of music you would play in your basement in the early days before he died. Was there any music that you think of that was particularly...
Well, his signature piece was Sidewinder. Mm-hmm. And that was something like the crossover, in a sense. And that was one of his biggest hits. And then like the Gigolo, things like that. But he brought a lot of music to the forefront for today, people are still using like Sidewinder and a whole lot of his other compositions that they still playing today.
Wow. Well, it's a great loss.
It's a great loss because he was only 33 and he had so many years and so many things to bring because he did 25 albums as a leader. And then he also recorded with people like Hank Mobley, Wayne Shorter, John Coltrane. He recorded with everybody. Dizzy Gillespie, Kenny Durham, John Coltrane, and all of the great Wayne Shorter. He recorded consistently from 1956 until the day. In fact, he recorded the day before he died.
Wow, 72.
Yes, 1972. But he made a tremendous impact on a lot of people, on a lot of people's lives. And include mine because he gave me some very, very good advice that education is a secret to success.
Lee Morgan did?
Yes. That was his philosophy at a very early age. He said, you know, Dean, as much as you can learn, not only about music, because he used to read a lot. And we used to go down to the libraries, and get information on Beethoven and Mozart and things, and we used to listen to that. So his whole philosophy was try to get as much information as you possibly can about not only music, but about everything.
And that's something that you've carried on.
I'm carrying that legacy, continuing on. Yeah, I try every day. I try to read something. I try to write something. And the way I compose is I write segments of pieces of ideas. And then after I have compiled so many different segments, I put them together into a composition. It's hard for me to sit down and write a composition. I have to be inspired. I might walk down the street and see a dog running. I might get inspired from that, you know. I get inspired from different, all kinds of things in life. And I think that's what helped me to write my compositions.
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's mine and my pleasure to talk to you. You've been very helpful in bringing out some valuable information. Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.